It's Wednesday, and it's time for our regular look at books. Today, it's dictionaries. When you open up most modern dictionaries, you usually find that they've been edited by dozens of people. But book reviewer Adam Kirsch says a new edition of one of our language's first dictionaries shows what one remarkable editor can do on his own.
When it was published in 1755, a dictionary of the English language had only one name on the title page, Dr. Samuel Johnson, A.M. The master's degree was honorary. In fact, Johnson had only 1 year of university education at Oxford. His education, like his dictionary, was strictly a product of his own industry and genius. Johnson is much better known for his masterful Lives of the English Poets, but his dictionary is probably his most impressive and least known work. I'm not saying it should replace the OED in the libraries of the world. His definitions are sometimes wrong, and sometimes whimsical.
Lexicographer, a writer of dictionaries, a harmless drudge.
And sometimes opinionated.
Sonnet, a short poem consisting of 14 lines. It is not very suitable to the English language.
Often he accurately records an 18th century definition that's now hopelessly inadequate.
Electricity, a property in some bodies whereby, when rubbed so as to grow warm, they draw little bits of paper or such like substances to them.
And of course many words have simply changed their meaning from Johnson's time to ours.
Cartoon, a painting or drawing upon large paper.
But it's these very qualities that make Johnson's dictionary a delightful book, and certainly the best dictionary for reading and browsing. That's especially true of the new edition, Samuel Johnson's Dictionary, edited by Jack Lynch. Lynch has selected 3,100 entries out of Johnson's original 42,000 for the beautifully produced volume. Reading the dictionary in this form makes it clear what separates Johnson from the modern lexicographer. He is literary and subjective, rather than scientific and objective. Of course, the scientific objective dictionary has an important purpose. Anyone trying to find out about the ape would learn more from Webster's definition.
Any of a family of large, tailless, semi-erect primates.
Than from Johnson's.
A kind of monkey, remarkable for imitating what he sees.
Then again, isn't it more important to know that an ape is remarkable for imitating what he sees? That, after all, is the sense that the word ape conveys to an English speaker. Perhaps it's Johnson's very lack of scientific knowledge that makes him more alert to the word as we use it. The modern dictionary's ideal reader is a Martian scientist, someone with no background knowledge who wants a unique definition for every word. Johnson's dictionary, on the other hand, implies a reader much like Johnson himself, a curious and intelligent English speaker who wants to gain a fuller sense of words he already knows. Johnson clearly recognizes the paradox of the dictionary. You have to know most of what's in it in order to use it.
Slate contributor Adam Kirsch is the author of The Thousand Wells, a book of poems, and the book critic for The New York Sun.